2007, Farewell to RFK, The Game, Florida Marlins 9, Washington Nationals 2 at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. Attendance 40,389 on Monday, April 2nd, 2007. The weather, 70s and sunny. Hall of Famers, none as of March 2022. Future Hall of Famers, maybe Marlins third baseman Miguel Cabrera, who will be eligible 5 years after retirement. Game highlights. Marlins starter Dontrell Willis reminded fans why he was National League Rookie of the Year in 2003 and NL Cy Young runner-up in 2005. On opening day 2007, he gave up only one earned run in six innings, while the Marlins tagged Washington starter John Paterson for six runs in four. Dimitri Young, who would be Washington's token representative in the 2007 All-Star Game, drove in Ryan Zimmerman with a double in the sixth. Dan Uggla and Miguel Cabrera homered for Florida, and Hanley Ramirez collected four hits. The Nationals and Marlins would battle all season for last place in the NL East, a painful start for two rookie managers, Washington's Manny Acta and Florida's Freddie Gonzalez. The Marlins would edge out the Nationals, finishing 18 games behind the first-place Philadelphia Phillies and two games behind the Nats. The story. My college sophomore son, Patrick, was able to skip afternoon classes and join his old man for RFK Stadium's final opening day. By this time next year, Nationals Park would be complete and RFK would be a permanent memory. Today was about celebrating the present, a father-son outing, spectacular weather, and a fresh start for our Nationals, and began a season-long reflection on the past. In spite of a 33-year absence of Major League Baseball, this 46-year-old venue was full of fond family memories. I'd attended hundreds of events here, mostly soccer and football games, a few seasons of baseball, and even a memorable Beach Boys concert. Many of their classic song titles and lyrics fit well with memories of this old barn. Good Vibrations happened during football playoff games and whenever the Dallas Cowboys were in town. Fans moved in unison and caused the lower bowl to shake. Wouldn't it be nice if the baseball gods would allow baseball to return? It was. I get around this stadium with ease from working the press box in the 80s, announcing international soccer matches and United States Football League games, to shuffling to new seat locations season after season, each time Roundy was able to upgrade his football season tickets. After nearly 40 years here, there was one constant. Fun, fun, fun. The fun began in 1968 when my parents provided my first tastes of pro football and baseball at DC Stadium. It was renamed Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium in early 1969, less than a year after the assassination of the former Attorney General and U.S. Senator. Every pro football game at RFK was sold out from 1968 through 1996, when the team moved to FedEx Field, just 8 miles to the west in suburban Maryland. Because RFK was hollow under the lower bowl, the stadium literally shook, especially during the winning seasons and Super Bowl years under future Hall of Fame coaches Vince Lombardi in 1969, George Allen from 1971 through 77, and Joe Gibbs from 1981 through 92. After the Senators left in 1971, Roundy tried to fill the summer void with an occasional pro soccer game. Soon after Brazilian star Pelé joined the North American Soccer League in 1975, his New York Cosmos came to RFK to play the Washington Diplomats in front of what was then the largest crowd ever to attend a soccer game in the United States. Roundy and I were among the 35,620 fans that steamy summer afternoon. 8 years later, I was old enough to get myself to the stadium and buy my own beer as part of another huge soccer crowd for a late June game of the league's short-lived Team America. The game happened to include a free post-game concert by the Beach Boys. It's not clear how many of the 50,108 people thought they were buying concert tickets with a free pre-concert soccer match, or vice versa. President Ronald Reagan's Interior Secretary James Watt had banished the Beach Boys from performing on the National Mall on the 4th of July, saying their music might attract the wrong element. Subject for another book. Soccer at RFK also held special memories for our daughters, Mary and Teresa. Kate and I gushed with pride in 2003 when the girls each got to make a ceremonial first kick at a Women's United Soccer Association game. On the receiving end of their crisp passes were World Cup stars Abby Wambach and Mia Hamm of the Washington Freedom. It was Teresa's 9th birthday, and she even got special scoreboard recognition. But of all the games and memories, one family story gets told over and over and spans generations from 1971 until 1996. I'm sure on this opening day, 2007, Patrick's eyes rolled as I told it one more time. The story begins on September 30th, 1971, when Roundy took his 11-year-old son, me, to that last Washington Senators game at RFK. Near the end, the fans poured out on the field, tearing up the turf. Wanting a grassy souvenir of my own, I looked up at Dad and said, "Let's go out on the field, Dad, and tear up some turf." "No, no, no, son," he replied. "It's too dangerous." As I recollected in that 2004 letter to the editor of the Washington Post, I cried myself to sleep that night in 1971. More than 25 years later, on December 22, 1996, I took my 10-year-old son, Patrick, to the last ruckus pro football game at RFK. As Washington neared the end of its thrashing of Dallas, we wound our way to the lower bowl around the 30-yard line to what had been Roundy's season tickets. We greeted the two police officers who sat next to him for years. I hadn't seen them since Dad passed away more than 2 years earlier. They expressed their condolences. With the Cowboys on the losing end of a 37-10 score, RFK was filled with joy, not anger. The fans poured out onto the field. I'd seen this before, although the mood was less festive. I looked down at Patrick and said, "Let's go out on the field, son, and tear up some turf." "No, no, no, Dad," he replied. "It's too dangerous." History sometimes has a weird way of reversing itself. I made eye contact with the officers in search of a favor. They nodded. I then looked back at Patrick and said, "Then you need to stay here with my friends. I have some unfinished business to attend to." The large chunk of right field, or rather, the south goal line, extracted that afternoon from RFK was boxed and shared with family members, one chunk of which remains in our basement fan cave. Some fans never grow up. Opening day 2007 boiled up nearly 40 years of RFK memories, so many of which shaped my fanaticism and friendships for generations. One more Beach Boys lyric came to mind. "God only knows what I'd be without you." We were about to find out. For the box score, play-by-play, and some RFK memories, visit openingday5050.com.